This is, it may seem like a random topic, but for those of you who are learning Sukkah, which I assume, right, that's what you're going to be doing for the next few weeks, you'll be learning Sukkah, and guys in yeshiva, how many of you are learning, are the yeshivas learning Sukkah in Elzmah? Shalvim's learning Sukkah. Just Shalvim? By show of hands, how many people are going to be learning Masecha Sukkah? Alright, so some people. Okay, good. So at least for the next couple of weeks, you'll be learning Masecha Sukkah. And I was told not to do any of the primary topics about the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah or anything of that nature. But I thought there is a Shas topic, bigger than a Shas topic, even a topic that perhaps even precedes Shas, that comes up in a couple of places in Masecha Sukkah that I think is not only a beautiful piece of Torah, but it's also something that we should be familiar with. The Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Beis in Masecha Sukkah tells us that Shiurin Chatzitzin Umechitzin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that there are three categories of halacha that are all Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and they are Shiurim, Chatzitzin, and Mechitzin. Now, of course, there are many, many, many more Halachas L'Moshe Misinai other than these three categories of halacha. But the Gemara lumps these three together. So what do these things mean? What is Shi'urim Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? What does that mean? How much of stuff, right? The sheer of things. So for example, if I have a mitzvah to eat matzah, I need to know how much matzah I'm supposed to eat. If I am told that a mace is metame ba'ohel, how much of a mace is metame ba'ohel? I just need to, if I have an iser to eat on Yom HaKippurim, how much am I not allowed to eat on Yom HaKippurim, and would I receive an onesh if I were to eat on Yom HaKippurim? That is shiurim. It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. What's the answer by matzah? How much matzah do you have to eat? Kazai. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. It just says you have to eat matzah. I might think I could take a little crumb and just and that's my matzah and be mekayim the mitzvah that way. Maybe I would think you have to eat a whole matzah. I wouldn't know. So that's why the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that tells us that it is a kazayis. What is the din of chatzitzin? What is that referring to? Yeah, when one goes to the mikvah, so a chatzitza would passel the tevila. Now, for men going to the mikvah nowadays, this doesn't really matter so much, because men don't have to go to the mikvah nowadays. But when we do have a Beis HaMikdash, Be'ezras Hashem, very soon, and we're going to have to be noig taharos, so, or for those who go up on Har HaBayis, for those who follow those rabbanim that say you're allowed to go up on Har HaBayis, so where it's absolutely halachically required to go to the mikvah first, so then one has to prepare their body, or for women nowadays, one has to prepare their body for the mikvah, to make sure that there are no foreign substances on their body. So chatzitza is halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara goes on to say, nah, not true. Chatzitza is not halacha l'moshe misinai. It's beferish in the pasuk. Chatzitza, the pasuk says, v'rachatz besaro b'mayim. And rachatz besaro means to wash your flesh. Obviously, if you have a foreign substance, if you're going in scuba gear into the mikvah, you're obviously not washing your flesh. Nothing is touching your skin. So it's beferish in the Torah that you have to wash your skin, that you can't have a chatzitza. So the Gemara qualifies it a little bit and says, yeah, but what are the rules? How much of a foreign substance, what types of foreign substances would ruin tevila b'mikvah? Anyone happen to know that halacha? The halacha is on a d'oraisa level. The only thing that would ruin a tevila is if it covers the majority of the body and it's something that you'd be makbid, you don't always want it there. So only in such a case, like full scuba gear. You don't walk around on Central Avenue in full scuba gear. You don't go to sleep in scuba gear. So even though you might want it at certain times, like when you're going scuba diving, you wouldn't want it at all times, and therefore it's something that you're makbid about, and it covers the majority of your body. But something that either only covers a small portion of your body, or something that you're not makbid about, you're always happy to have it there. Like, what are you always happy to have there? Fillings in your teeth. You're always happy to have those there. You do not want those fillings to fall out, because then it's all a hassle. You got to go to the dentist, then he could tell you the cavity got bigger and then you need a root canal. I mean, I've been down this road a few times. It's not pleasant. You'd rather the fillings just stay where they are and they'll do their job. So you're not makbid about it. You want it to be there. So that would not be chatzitz on a daraisa level. But Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is what teaches us that. It doesn't say that in the Torah. It just says that something about water touching your skin, but it doesn't tell us what is a chatzitza. And then most pertinent to Masechta Sukkah, mechitzin. What is the din of mechitzin? What's the din of mechitzin? Mechitza, what do you mean? Where's the din d'oraisa of mechitza? The mechitza in a shul? Certainly not. That's certainly not the din d'oraisa of mechitza. Right? Meaning, it's interesting, by the way, the din of mechitza in a shul, not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. A lot of discussion in Achronim. Why not? What's the most likely answer? Why is mechitza in a shul not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch? It's so pasha that you need one? Women didn't go to shul, right? That was, and who could blame them? They couldn't read Hebrew, so it was, right? So, women—if women didn't go to shul, then you don't need a mechitza. So it was not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, but it's certainly not mentioned in the Torah, right? Mechitza is not a din da'oraisa in that sense. It might be a din da'oraisa anyway, but it's not explicit in the Torah. I have a piece in my second sefer about mechitza if you're interested, but we're not going to discuss that right now. But mechitza we're talking about over here is not mechitza in a shul. We're talking about creating rishos, mechitza of erevin, mechitza of sukkah, right? There are rules of walls of a sukkah. That's a din d'oraisa also, that sukkah needs walls. The Gemara darshins in Vavam Beis from the psukim, sukkos, that it uses the term sukkos, sometimes spelled malay and chaser and had a darshan. So it's explicit, or at least implicit in the Torah, that you need mechitzos of a sukkah. So where's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai element of it? Yeah, well, how many mechitzas do you need? That might be explicit in the Torah also. But what qualifies as a mechitza? That's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. For example, shnayim kilchasan, you need two mechitzos of a sukkah that are perpendicular to each other. And then shlishis afilu tefach. The third one could be just a tefach. Oh, just a tefach. That's called a mechitza. Yes, that's called the mechitza. What if there's a gap of less than three tefachim? Lavud, the fact that gap is viewed la halacha as if it's closed in. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So this is where halacha l'moshe m'sinai first comes up in Maseches Sukkah. It comes up again later in Maseches Sukkah. So what I wanted to do today, in the 39 minutes we have remaining, is to discuss the notion of halacha l'moshe m'sinai a little bit, the different types of halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And this is something, whenever you see the words halacha l'moshe m'sinai, you will be able to immediately apply this basic piece of lamdus. It is not my own lamdus. It is the lamdus of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And whenever you see the words, the first words that should go through your head are, is this a, and I'll explain what this means in a moment, is this a halacha mifareshes or a halacha mechadeshes? I'm giving you the hakira right at the outset. Normally the way to properly structure a shir is you go through all the questions first. Oh, there's a stira in this Rambam. What exactly are these two Gemaras arguing about? And then you say the hakira. Oh, it's tzvei dinim, it's this, it's that. I'm giving it to you right at the outset, that there are two types of halacha l'moshe m'sinai. There's what's called a halacha, what Reb Chaim coins, and one of Reb Chaim's great contributions to Torah literature is that he wasn't afraid to use new terminology, and he used terminology that had not been used before to express things in a way that makes things super duper clear. So he coins the term halacha mefareshes versus halacha mechadeshes. What are those things? So halacha mefareshes are all the examples we gave so far. That there is a din in the Torah. The Torah itself tells us about a certain halacha, like eating matzah, like eating on Yom Kippur. The only thing is, the Torah doesn't give us all of the necessary details. There's some detail missing. What detail is missing? How much? So shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai that explain what achilas matzah means. It's filling in the detail. How much matzah do I have to eat? The Torah says that you can't have a chatzitza. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai defines what is a chatzitza. The Torah says that a sukkah needs mechitzos. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai defines what is a mechitza. That is a halacha mefareshes. The din is in the Torah. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai defines or explains the din of the Torah. What is a halacha mechadeshes? What is a halacha mechadeshes? So what does it sound like? That the whole halacha is invented by the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It doesn't exist in the Torah. There's no zecher to it in the Torah. The Torah doesn't refer to it. I only know this halacha because it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai is the pinnacle of Torah Shebal Peh. It is the ultimate in Torah Shebal Peh. Meaning there's a whole discussion in Maseches Gittin, the Gemara's Machlokas, is Torah Ruba Bichsav or Ruba Balpeh? is the majority of Torah b'chsav, or is the majority of Torah b'al peh? So the Prima Gadim, the Psicha Kalelis, explains that they're probably arguing about how you view that which is derived from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ban. Is that considered Torah Shebichsav, or is that considered Torah Shebal Peh? So, okay, that's debatable, because it's not explicit in the Torah. I'm using Gzera Shava, Mematzinu. Okay, but something that's for sure Torah Shebal Peh? Something that's for sure Torah Shebal Peh? Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Because it clearly doesn't come from the words of the Torah itself. It's absolutely Torah Shebal Peh. So, Halacha Mechadeshes is where the entire thing comes from the Torah Shebal Peh. It has nothing in the Torah Shebichsav. Can you think of any Halacha Mechadeshes? If Nisach HaMayim is in fact a Halacha Moshe Mesinai, then it's Halacha Mechadeshes. So that's also a Masechta Sukkah related issue. Why is that a Masechta Sukkah related issue? When did they pour water on the Mizbeach? Only on Sukkot, right? It was not something. Nisuch HaYayin was done all the time. Nisuch HaMayim, once a year. Only on Sukkot. And that's the Simchas Beis Hashaveva, right? What were they drawing? Yeah, Ruach HaKodesh and all the rest. But come on, physically, what were they drawing? Water, right? It was the drawing of the water and the bringing of the water to do the Nisuch HaMayim. You could actually walk the path. I mean, not all the way if you don't go in Arbayis, which I don't, but you can walk the path of where they would get the water from the Shiloach. You could walk it nowadays. The path that they would bring it up toward the Har Abayis. So Nisuch HaMayim, if it's a Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, you'll see it's debatable. If you ever learn Maseches Titus, it's Machlokas. If you remember also, learning is not enough. If you learned it and remember at the beginning of Maseches Titus, then you'll know that it's machlokas whether Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha Moshe Mesinai or not. If it is, it's Halacha Mechadeshes. Now, this explains everything. Once you have this Chakira, you can understand so many fascinating discussions relating to Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Sometimes we give credit to Reb Chaim for coming up with the concept. Sometimes, he didn't come up with the concept. He formulated the concept. But the concept existed, and you could find it almost explicitly in Rishonim once you put on your Reb Chaim glasses. Meaning, this is the kind of thing. I could have read the Ran that I'm about to tell you that you have in your Marmakomos. I could have read the Ran 1,000 times, but if Reb Chaim didn't tell me how to read the Ran, I would not have appreciated that this is exactly what the Ran is saying. The Ran in Masechta Shabbos raises the following issue. What's the punishment for violating a los aseh in the Torah, typically? Punishment? Malkus, right? You get Malkus for violating a los aseh in the Torah. What's the punishment for violating Halacha Moshe Mesinai, typically? Nothing. There is no onesh down here. I'm sure up in Shemayim, you'd have to pay for it, Lachar Me'avasrim, but violating Halacha Moshe Mesinai does not come with any onesh. Asks the Ran, when one carries Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim, on Shabbos, why is he punished the same as someone who carries from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin? See, carrying from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, that's Da'araisa. Carrying Dalet Amos within a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So if you say that Mavir Dalet Amos is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, then there should be no onesh for doing so. Take a look at the Ran. Hamotzi Mershus L'Rushus. Vim Tomar. I mean, the Ran is going on the Mishnah Masech Shabbos, right? The Mishnah on Ayin Gimel, Masech Shabbos, lists off the 39 Malachos of Shabbos. It's just one quick list, all 39 Malachos. So one of the Malachos is Motzi Mirushos L'Rushos, which involves either carrying from Rishos Yach to Rishos Rabim, or from Rishos Rabim to Rishos Yach, right? Asks the Ran, Vim Toma, Amaylo Chashv Nami Arbamos Rishos Rabim, Mavir Abramos Rishos Rabim. Isn't there a third way to violate Otsah? When you carry something for Amos within a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, right? If someone is ever very desperate, very stuck, and they need to carry something somewhere, and dire circumstances, so what do we recommend? Stop and put it down every less than 4 Amos. Because once you carry it for Amos and then put it down, either that or just keep walking. Don't stop. Because once you stop within 4 Amos, after 4 Amos, you're in violation of Bimavir Dal Amos Rishus Ran. Why isn't that mentioned in the Mishnah? Says the Ran, Yeshlom Rishum Demavir told the Motzihu, Lufi Shel Dalid Amos Shel Adam Rishusohain, Umisha Motzi Chutz Dalid Amos Havle Motzi Mirshus L'Rishus. Says the Ran, when you carry something 4 amos from Rishus Rabim, you've taken it out of one Rishus and into another Rishus. Because there's an automatic assumption that the four amos that a person is in is considered his rishos. So when I left those 4 amos, I've taken it to another rishos. It doesn't have a clear, clear mark like a rishos ram to rishos yachid or vice versa, where there's like a threshold of the house that you go over that threshold, you go into the walls outside the wall. In rishos ram, it's wide open space. I'm middle of Times Square, but I'm walking more than 8 feet. That's mavir from one rishos to another, says the Ran. Here it is. Hilchasa Gemirila. When the Gemara says that if you carry Dalar Amos in Rosh Hashanah, it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai, says the Ran, Hainu l'chayev ba midin motzi. What the Gemara means to say is that halacha l'Moshe Misinai makes it that you are motzi me rishos l'rishos. When you carry 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, that's the equivalent, according to halacha l'Moshe Misinai, of carrying from one rishos to another. What's the Ran say? What's the nature of this halacha l'Moshe Misinai? What? Mefaresh, right? Meaning, it's not that halacha l'Moshe Misinai invented this new concept called Maver Dalar Rosh. No, the concept exists. You're not allowed to take something from one rishos to another rishos. What was the chiddush of the Halach L'Moshe Misinai of Dalar Amos? No, what's the chiddush? Come on, wake up. What's the chiddush? That Dalar Amos is your rishos. And therefore, when you carry outside of Dalar Amos, what have you done? You've been motzi mirishos, lirishos. Good, simple rhyme. Right? Carrying Dalar Amos is a halacha mefareshas that it just explains what hotza'a is. Wow. And that Ran explains a lot. You know, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Show of hands, who learned Bava Metzia this year? Okay, so you'll help me out here. Bava Metzia Dav Yud. Bava Metzia Dav Yud. Guys in Rabbi Willig's here? We got to pretty much all of Bava Metzia, yeah? So Bava Metzia Dav Yud. Gemara in Bava Metzia Dav Yud Amar Aleph. Speaks about Kinyan Dalar Amos. Why is it that my 4 amos, the 4 amos that immediately surround me, can make a Kinyan for me? Right? We don't want, if you've ever watched American football, there's something in football called a fumble. Yeah, you've seen, right? So what happens when a fumble happens? Pile. What goes on under that pile? It's not good. You don't want to. There is biting and kicking and scratching and spitting, and it's not good what goes on under that pile. Right? Meaning, it's not good if there's a melee that ensues every time something is up for grabs. So we certainly don't want that. There's a metzia, something is left there, and it doesn't have a simon, and someone could take it. That there's, it's going to be like a fumble that everyone's going to jump in and start beating each other up. So in order to avoid, to lo asi lensuye, what do? We make it that the Rabbanan came along and said, Dalar Amos will be kona. It's a little bit troubling though, because the Ran just quoted a different Gemara that told us that Dalar Amos is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. That the din of Dalar Amos is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Dalar Amos is your rishus from halacha l'Moshe Misinai. And yet the Gemara Bava Metzia says, not halacha l'Moshe Misinai, a takana midrabanan. Another problem with Dalar Amos. If a man is interested in divorcing his wife and he has a sofa ready to get, and he throws it within her Dalar Amos, not biyada mamish, within her Dalar Amos, mugreshes or ena mugreshes? Mugreshes. Drabanan only? Is she only divorced midrabanan? Okay, Gittin has to work midaraisa. You don't want a woman who, from a daraisa perspective, is still married, but the rabbis are telling her, no, it's no problem. Right? Unless you have hafkas kiddush, and we're not going to get into that right now. But midrabanan, it's got to be a din daraisa that she's mugrashas. So it can't be purely a din midrabanan. it must be that Dal Rama Shel Adam being one's Rishus is a Din D'Oraisa. But the idea that it could be Kone for you is a Din Midrabanan. Right? Dal Rama is counting as your Rishus is a Din D'Oraisa. Where did that Din D'Oraisa come from? Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. The fact that it has the ability to be Kone is only Din D'Rabanan. Which, who learned Gittin this year? So you know the famous Ketzos, top five Ketzos, right? About Nesinas Aget. You need a Kinyan on a Get. Right? You got to get, this is like, if you learn, top five Ketzos, maybe top one. That the Ketzos writes in Simon Reish, that a Get can be given to an Isha Bal Korcha, right? I mean that, we don't, it's a Dindaraisa. Midrabanan, it's not the yeshivish thing to do. It's not a nice thing to do to give a woman a get bal karcha, right? But on a daraisa level, if you give a woman a get against her will, it works. Can a kinyan work bal karcha? Can a person be kona something that they're standing there screaming, I don't want this, I don't want to be kona it? Do we say, too bad, it's yours, you're stuck with it? No, because every kinyan requires das. And if you're screaming, I'm having das not to be kone, then guess what? You're not kone. So how come a get works, bal karcha? Says the Ketzos, big yesod. By get, you don't need kinyan. You don't need kinyan. All you need is nesina. Totally different thing by a get. Not kinyan, just nesina. Says the Ketzos, I'll prove it to you. Dal Rama Shel Adam is kone for a person, right? But that's only according to the Gemara and Bava Metzia. What kind of din? The Rabbanan. Dalar Amos of a woman, you throw a get within Dalar Amos of a woman, she's divorced me? Daraisa. How does that work? How can she be divorced me Daraisa if Dalar Amos is only Kona, me the Rabbanan? Says it says, how? Because it's a Nesina. It's not a Kinyan, but it's a Nesina. It is her Rishus on a Daraisa level. Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. But it's not it doesn't make a kinyan on a daraisa level, and that's fine because for a get you don't need kinyan. Okay, that was the most complicated part, the most complicated application. Now let's get to the simpler applications. Again, the one you sowed, all you need to understand to go from here on in, halacha mefareshes versus halacha mechadeshes. Halacha mefareshes means we have halacha in the Torah that's clear in the Torah. Halacha Moshe M'Sinai just details that din daraisa. Fills in the blanks on that din d'oraisa. Halacha mechadeshes, the halacha doesn't appear in the Torah at all. The halacha Moshe M'Sinai creates the din d'oraisa. There's something in the Torah called arla. What's arla? It's a mesachta mishnayos.
First 3 years.
What? First three years. Good. There are actually two things called arla. The other thing called arla is a foreskin. That was one of my favorite emails. Someone sent me a picture of a wine bottle in Israel. And, you know, sometimes they like Google Translate things for. So it was an Israeli wine bottle, and it said Lo Chashash Shvius Arla Revai or something like that, which means that you don't have to be choshish in this wine bottle. There is any grapes that are Shemitah grapes. Or Arla grapes from the first 3 years of the grapevine, or Revai. And on the other side it said, without any concern of sabbatical year foreskins, or the or quarters or something. So it probably also true that there are no foreskins in the wine, but that's probably not the intention of the label. So what is the din of Arla? What's the din of Arla? The first 3 years after you plant something, any fruits that come out, which usually is nothing or very minimal, because the plant, I don't know much about this stuff, but the plant has to take root and has to grow and has to become stronger before it's able to produce meaningful fruit. But whatever grows the first 3 years is aser b'hana'ah. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. Good, that's the din of Arla. You're not allowed to get any benefit from the fruits of the first 3 years. Fourth year, it's Revai. What happens in the fourth year? You treat it like Maaser Sheni. Great. What do you do with Maaser Sheni? Bring it to Yerushalayim. You got to eat it there. The Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Chesam Beis, says, what about Arla and Chutz Laretz? Does the din of Arla still apply in Chutz Laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael? You would think not, right? You would think that all of the agricultural mitzvahs are only Eretz Yisrael mitzvahs. Comes along the Gemara in Kiddushin and tells us, Orlas chutz laretz halacha lemoshe misinai. And what did I tell you? Every time you see those words, halacha lemoshe misinai, what has to go through your mind? Is it mefarashis or mechadashis? Right? Orlas chutz laretz halacha lemoshe misinai, says the Gemara. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuras Parak Yud Halacha Tezvav adds that, okay, here's how Orla works in Eretz Yisrael. First 3 years, Asur Bana. Fourth year, treat it like Ma'aser Sheni. Orla's Chutz Laretz is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So there is a din of Orla. The first 3 years, it's going to be Asur Bana. Is there a din of Revai in Chutz Laretz? Is there a special, is this like a package deal? That if there's Arla, then it comes along with, oh, and the fourth year you also have certain limitations. Or do we say, no, there's no din of Revai. It's Arla Chutz Laretz. That's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. We never heard anything about Revai Chutz Laretz, just Arla Chutz Laretz. So says the Rambam, Yira Eli, She'ein din net Revai noeg b'chutz laretz. It's going to be difficult to talk while I'm joking. What is I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop it, I don't think. Just wonder if it's dangerous. Okay. It's not, there is no din of Revai in Chutz Laretz. Ela ochel perushan revi is below pidyon klal. You can eat the fruits of the fourth year without being pulled to them at all. It's just totally mutter. Fruits of the fourth year are totally mutter. Shalomru elah arla. Arla is chutz laretz halacha l'moshe misinai. That's all we ever learned. The kal v'chomer advarim. And he says it's a kal v'chomer, leaving out the kal v'chomer for right now. And then he writes, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's Revai is noeg. And then at the end of the Rambam, he writes, Vahoru miktas gaonim shekerem revai levado podinoso bichutz laaretz. Now, Ka'onim say that we have a din of Revai even in Chutz Laretz. What are they arguing about? So again, the Rambam says, yeah, there's such a thing as Orlas Chutz Laretz. There's no such thing as Revai Chutz Laretz. Comes along the Ga'onim that the Rambam himself quotes. And they say there is a din of Revai in Chutz Laretz. What are they arguing about? This machlokas, meaning what everyone agrees it's halacha l'moshe misinai. What they're arguing about is this a halacha mefareshas or a halacha mechadeshas? No, how so? Let's explain.
If it's halacha mefareshas, then you would have revised still because it's a the same din, just also.
Very good. The Torah definitely tells me there is a din in Eretz Yisrael called Arla, and that's followed by Revai, and that. Right, in Eretz Yisrael. The Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, when it tells me that there's a din of Arlas Chutz Laretz, is the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai inventing a new concept called Arlas Chutz Laretz that's got nothing to do with Arla and Eretz Yisrael? They're called the same thing, but guess what? Foreskins are also called Arla. It's got nothing to do with it. So is it a brand new concept that has nothing to do with what's going on in Eretz Yisrael? In which case, the Rambam would be right. The Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai only told me about Arla, never about Revai. Or is it a Halacha Mefareshes? That there is a din of Arla in Eretz Yisrael, there's a din of Arla in the Torah. Oh, but I don't know what gets included in that din of Arla in the Torah. Is it only Arla Eretz Yisrael? Or is it also fruits from Chutz Laretz? Say the Gaonim, it's halacha mefareshes, that the din of Arla in the Torah includes even produce from Chutz Laretz. And therefore, the produce from Chutz Laretz is the exact same as the produce from Eretz Yisrael. And if produce from Eretz Yisrael has Revai, produce from Chutz Laretz has Revai. One might have said, well, it's a beferish, a pasuk. I mean, you'd have to know Pesukim, but when the Pasuk describes Arla, the Pasuk starts by saying, Ki tavo'u el ha'aretz. What does that tell you?
Yes.
Sounds like the din that the Torah is teaching us is only a din in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a din in Chutz Laretz. Ki tavo'u el ha'aretz. Which sounds like what? That Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai of Arla's Chutz Laretz is what? Mefareshas or Mechadashas? Mechadeshas. The one in the Torah is Kitavo El Aretz. So the Rambam, who assumes that it's Mechadeshes, is good. The Gaonim, how the Gaonim can explain Ki Tavo'u El Ha'aretz? What does the word Ki mean in the Torah? When? Ki Tavo'u El Ha'aretz might just mean you want to know at what point in history these dinim begin? It's when Jews go into Eretz Yisrael. Where do these dinim apply? Everywhere. Ki Tavo'u El Ha'aretz may not be telling you that these dinim are only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. And the Halacha Moshe Mishina invents a new din called Arlas Chutz La'aretz. No, it could be telling you these dinim apply everywhere. When do they apply? They begin, meaning the ability to practice Arlas Eretz Yisrael is what triggers the din of Arla everywhere. Arla. Yeah, so the word ki in the Torah means different things. Right. So first of all, right, and by Shviyus, what's the halacha? It only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but it also only begins when we enter into Eretz Yisrael after Kibush V'chiluk.
So it only applies in Eretz Yisrael from where?
So that, because that's really generally the rule. The rule generally is, unless we have Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah telling us otherwise, that all agricultural mitzvahs are only in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Sugi Maseches Kiddushin, how we derive that. But that all of the mitzvahs that relate to the land, Kol Mitzvah Tuliyah Ba'aretz, is Einu Noeg Ela Ba'aretz, a Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin. I'll give you another example where this is going to play a critical role. Halacha Mefresh Halacha Mechadeshes. You have a Kohen who is an Arel, let's say. Kohen never got a Bris Mila. His parents were negligent or didn't know. He never got a Bris Mila. So he's not allowed to do the avoda. How do I know that? So the Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin, the second part of Masech Sanhedrin, tells us Gemara Gemirila. When you see the words Hilchsa Gemirila, Gemara Gemirila, or Halacha, most often it means Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So it's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. The Kohen is an Arel, is not allowed to do the avoda. What if he does the avoda? A Kohen does the avoda, and then someone says, "Hey, I was at your bris. I know you for so long. I was at your bris." And he says, "No, you weren't. I know that for sure." And the guy says, "How could you know for sure? You were just a little baby." He's like, "I know it for sure because I don't have a bris." Good? I don't know if that's how the conversation goes down, but a guy is an RL and he does the avoda. Does he get malchus? What would you say? No, an RL cannot do the avoda based on what? Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. Do you get malchus for Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah? No. So it would seem he should not get any malchus. And in fact, Rashi, Sanhedrin, Pedalim, and Aleph, he does the avoda, does not get malchus because it's only Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. Comes along the Rambam in Bias Mikdash, Parag Vav, Halacha Ches. Wow, we. Says the Rambam, Ha'arel, Hareyu ke Benecha, Shnei Makal Benecha, Arolev Arolbaser. An Arel is like a Benecha. He's like a foreigner, someone who has no business doing avoda. Lefichach arel sha'avad chilel avodaso viloke kizar sha'avad. He gets malchus like a zar who does the avoda. Avleinu chayv misa, he's a chayv misa. Wait a second, I thought for Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah, you don't get malchus. How come the kohen gets malchus? The halacha is that a zar, what's a zar in the context of avoda in the Mikdash? A non-kohen. If Yisrael, like Yisrael, exactly. If Yisrael does the avoda, he gets malchus. How do I define zar? So I'm used to defining the word zar as a non-kohen, but maybe there's a broader definition of the word zar. Maybe zar means a non-kohen or kohen ara. And maybe that's the machlokas. Rashi understands that the halacha L'Moshe Mishnah, that a kohen arel cannot do the avoda, is halacha mechadesh, it's brand new halacha. You're not going to get malchus for something that's purely halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. Comes along the Rambam and he understands that no, it's a halacha mefareshes. There's a din that is zar sha'avad is chayv malchus. What is a zar? Comes halacha L'Moshe Mishnah and tells me it even includes a kohen arel. Now that you know it, you see it in the Rambam. It's so explicit, and it's almost explicit in the Rambam. Right, what does the Rambam write? Lefichach oral sha'avad chilel avodaso viloke. That's where I would have stopped. He was mechal yavod, he gets malchus. What does the Rambam add? Two more words. He's chayv malchus, kizar sha'avad. And he's chayv malchus like a guy who eats nevela, and he's chayv malchus like, I don't know, like 100 different yisurim in the Torah that you chayv malchus for. Elohein alokin, open up Meseches Malchus and find all the averes that you chayv malchus for. He's chayv malchus like anybody who's chayv malchus. What do you mean, kizar sha'avad? Over here, kid doesn't mean similar to. It means exactly as, or included in. He's just like a Zar Sha'avad. He becomes a Zar Sha'avad. Because a Kohen Orel, for the, as far as Avod is concerned, is Dino Kizar. And don't say, well, come on, it's ridiculous. He can't be Dino Kizar, because his children are Kohanim. We see he's clearly not a Zar. There's such a thing as having a Din Kuhuna for certain things and not for other things. There's a halacha that a Kohen calls man She'ein bigdeyam aleim, you know the end of the phrase? Ein bigdeyam aleim, ein kuhunasa aleim. What does it mean? They're not a Kohen if they're not wearing the avoda. All the people that call themselves Kohanim, that duchen, and that get the first aliyah, none of them are qualified because they're not wearing bigdey kuhuna. No, it means they don't have the din of kuhuna as far as avoda is concerned. But not just that they're not wearing the right uniform. Without that uniform, they lack kuhuna. So, a Kohen who lacks a bris lacks a certain sense of kuhuna. I'll give you another example. Again, pick it up from the ground level again. Another example. The Gemara Maseches Tainis, Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, talks about Nisa Chamayim, we mentioned before, Machlokas Tanayim, where it's derived from. Rav Yehuda Maseira says, oh, it's in the Torah, because the Pasuk says, Viniskehem, with a mem, Unisacheha, with a yud, between the second to last letter, Kimishpatam with a mem. Ooh, mem, yud, mem, says the Gemara, will turn to Chasidus Rebbe's for a day. Mem, yud, mem, that spells Mayim, Nisach Mayim, Minat Torah. Says Rabbi Nechemia, that's crazy. It's Allah Moshe Misina. It's not Minat Torah anyway. It's Allah Moshe Misina. Says the Rambam, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda Maseira that it's a real din d'oraisa, let's say you do an avoda, a real avoda midaraisa outside of the mikdash. You do an avoda outside of the mikdash. Chayv malchus for that. Avoda b'chutz yichayv midaraisa. But says the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Maseches Vachen, the 13th part of Maseches Vachen, if you hold like Rabbi Nechemia that Nisach HaMayim is only Alach L'Moshe Misinai, let's say you do something that's only Alach L'Moshe Misinai outside of the mikdash. You can be Chayv Malkus? No, it's only Alach L'Moshe Misinai to begin with. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam just points out that I see there's a Machlokas Tanayim. What is Nisach HaMayim? Din Daraisa or Alach L'Moshe Misinai? Meaning from the Torah itself or Alach L'Moshe Misinai? Just applying that, says the Rambam, it chaps an afkamina, because if it's a real Daraisa from Psukim, you're going to be Chayiv for doing it outside. And if it's not a Din Daraisa, you're not going to be Chayiv for doing it B'chutz. It's not called Avod B'chutz. Great, that's fine in its own right. The Rambam in Ilchus Tamidim Musaf and Paragud Paskins Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Nisach HaMayim is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Good! So if you're the Rambam and you have to Paskin Halacha, let's say a person does Nisach HaMayim B'chutz, what would you Paskin? No, let's put two and two together again. Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayis, let's go through it again. Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayis says that if you hold that Nisach HaMayim is a din from the Psukim, then you automatically hold that if you do it b'chutz, chayiv. If you hold it's only Alach L'Moshe Misinai, then if you do it b'chutz, potter. Says the Rambam, I paskin if that Nisach HaMayim is Alach L'Moshe Misinai. So what's he going to paskin? If you do it b'chutz, potter. Comes along the Rambam, Meiser Kabanos Parak Yates Alach L'Gimel. If one is Menaseh HaMayim b'chutz, chayiv. Come on, Rambam. You're the one that gave us the rule. In the Parish of Mishnayis, you're the one that told us that that's the way it's supposed to work. And now you're gonna violate your own rule? The Rambam sometimes contradicts himself between the Parish of Mishnayis and the Mishnah Torah. But, I mean, why doesn't this rule exist anymore? Where did he go wrong? It sounded good. what he said in the Perush HaMishnayos. So what changed? What changed? In the Perush HaMishnayos, he was assuming that if it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai, what kind of halacha is it? Halacha mechadashas. For halacha mechadashas, what's the halacha? There is no onesh. Comes along the Rambam by the time he wrote Mishnah Torah, and he says, no, it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai, but it's a halacha mefarashas. That the halacha is, if you do avoda b'chutz yirchayiv, what's called avoda? Halacha l'moshe v'sinai is mefarish nisach hamayim, is also called avoda. Again, halacha mefarashas, halacha mechadashas. There are other applications as well. Let's do one more. Tosus Maseches Yevamos and Dafayin Alfam Beis explains that Priyas Mila was not Nitan Lavram Avinu, but we weren't Mechadesh Priya on our own. It's Halachal Moshe Misinai. What's Priya? So there are two parts to the Mila. There's the Mila and the Priya. We tend to do it mole and tend to do it all at one shot. I'm not going to get graphic. I'm not going to take out a chart and an image and show it to you. Okay, just trust. There are two parts to Mila. Mila and Priya. Priya, this additional peeling or cutting, is something that's only from Halachah L'moshe V'sinai. Avraham Avinu only had Mila. Let's say a Mohel does Mila. Let's say a Mohel does Mila and he forgot to do the Priya. He left Tzitzin HaMa'akvin as a Priya. There are parts that he didn't do the Priya. What bracha should he recite when he goes and does the Priya? Meaning there are two options. He could say Asher Kishon Mitzvos V'Tzvanu, and then he has to define what mitzvah he's about to do. Al Ha Mila or Al Ha Priya? He did the Mila already, but he didn't do the Priya. And the Priya is Ma'akiv. It's not kosher without the Priya. Halachol Moshe Misina. Should he say Al Ha Mila or Al Ha Priya? Comes along Mor V'Rabbi of Shechter Shlita in Simon Lamed Vav V'Aretz HaTzvi. And he says, it depends. How do you understand the halacha l'moshe misinai of Priya? No, what are your two options?
No, because
it's halacha l'moshe misinai, so you're not being the kind of the mitzvah. You didn't do the halacha l'moshe misinai.
But it's ma'akiv another mitzvah?
No, it means that ma'akiv the mila means you still have to do it, and you're still considered an RL without it.
You're still considered.
But it could be that you did the mitzvahs mila. So, meaning, whenever you talk about mila, the Ragachavar has a tshuva where he says that mila, you always have to look at it from three perspectives. There's the mitzvah of doing a mila, there's the mitzvah of being mahul, and there's the isser of not being an arel. So it could be that he did the mila, but he's still an arel. You know, they don't... That's what they say. The Rav Zevin writes that most of Reb Chaim is always about Tzvei Dinim. That there are two Dinim. The Ragachav always had three Dinim. So this was the example that he gave. So what bracha would you say if you hold that halacha Moshe Misinai? If Priya is a halacha mechadeshes, it's a brand new halacha. It's got nothing to do with Mila. So the bracha is al ha Priya. But if it's a halacha mefarashes, it just redefines what Mila is. Asher Kishon Mitzvos Yisvanu Al Hamila, because it's actually part of the Mila. That too would rely on this distinction between Halacha Mefareshes versus Halacha Mechadeshes. So this is something to think about when you come across any Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. For example, there is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that Ritzuos Shel Tefillin need to be black. Not the batim. The batim could be don't need to be black, but the ritzu. I mean, we possibly do, but the ritzu shel tefillin is halacha l'moshe misinai that it has to be black. Is that halacha mefarashas or is that halacha mechadashas? Rav Avadi Yosef isn't sure. He's not sure. What would you think? I would think it's mefarashas, right? The Torah tells you that you need to have tefillin, so the halacha l'moshe misinai is mefarash. That this is, this is a detail within tefillin. Rav Avadi says, yeah, but it's a little bit indirect because, it's one thing if the Torah tells you have to have straps, explicit in the Torah. And then Allah Moshe Mishnei tells me what color the straps have to be. But just tell me that I need to have tefillin. And then to go two steps beyond that, and straps, and then the straps have to be black. Maybe that's not mifareshes anymore. He said, right, that's true. But not necessarily, I guess it's not explicit in Torah that it's got to be behemoth tahora or whatever, or what those straps are made of. Whereas, you know, that I have to eat matzah, that's in the Torah. So it's obvious that I'm going to need to know how much I have to eat. Oh, shiurim, halacha l'moshim sinai. But pashtus, like you said, is that it's halacha mefreshes. So this is how to view things from Rabbi Chaim. You know, Rabbi David Tzukenik, and with this we'll mamish close, Rabbi David Tzukenik gave a shiur to Keli Masvidim the other weekend. He quoted Rav Meir Tversky in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said that my father's entire derech of learning could be summed up in three words. Rishonim can learn it. That Rishonim know how to learn. I thought that was so brilliant. Because prior to Reb Chaim, all everyone was trying to do was try to figure out which Rishon was right. Machlok Zeram Ravid, who's right? How do I paskin? What Reb Chaim revolutionized is, not who's right. How are they both right? What are they arguing about? What's the perspective of each one? And that's what he's doing over here. In these discussions, so who's right in this machlokes between the Rambam and the Gaonim about Or Laschutz? Not who's right. They're both right. But there are two models through which they could look at something. You could look at it as halacha mefreshes or halacha mechadeshes. In that sense, this piece is pretty much classic Reb Chaim. Okay, we'll stop there, and I guess I'll see you at some point. I think I'll be back here at some point.